How many people know this guy? Just raise your hand. How many people know this guy, the annoying guy? Anybody have anyone like that in their life? You can be honest in church, I promise. I know you don't want to raise your hand because they're sitting right next to you. I was with a buddy, this is a couple years ago, Kenny Sipes. Him and I were talking. We were outside of Starbucks, and we were just standing right there by the street parking. And we're just having a great conversation about ministry and whatever it was. And my car was parked right there in the street parking. And a guy drove up behind my car, and he hit my car. And I watched it, and Kenny saw it. And I was like, oh my gosh, this guy just hit my car. I mean, it wasn't like a little, like it was like a nudge, like the car rocked. Then the guy backed up, and he hit it again. And Kenny and I were like, what is going on? And then he did it again. The guy backed up three times and ran into my car, and each time he rocked it. Then he backed up, finally put it in park, and the guy gets out, and he's on the phone. He's just walking around like this, and he walks by me and Kenny as if he's not even going to acknowledge that he hit my car. And I like had to stop him and go, hey, man. Hey, and he's like, hold on one second. Hey, what's up? I'm like, whoa, dude, I'm about to throw something. Like, I go, and I had like a moment, I had one of those moments where like, because I'm a pastor, I act like I'm going to be gentle and kind, but it's totally fake. I was like, hey, man. Hey, you just hit my car. He goes, hold on. He goes, huh? I go, you just hit my car. He goes, no, I didn't. I go, no, you hit my car. He goes, I didn't hit your car. I go, dude, you hit my car. You actually hit it three times. He goes, you hit my car three times. He goes, no, I didn't. Kenny goes, dude, actually, like, we stood here and watched you hit his car three times. And he's like, oh, well, I'm sorry, man. I was on the phone. Walked away. Oh! Wow, how many of you have ever had an experience where you're just like, what is wrong with people? Why do they do that? And to a certain degree, this is my life and maybe this is your life. You have this idea about the way people should be, right? It's like they should act like this and they should do like this and they should say like this. And I'm thinking in that moment, what that guy should have done is he should have, after the first time, I'm thinking he should have got out of his car and been like, looked around like, did anybody see that? Or at least when he got out of the car, he should have like walked right by and been like, did you see me hit that car? Man, I can't believe I did that. And I'm thinking, like, at that point, if he would act that way and if he would kind of live life that way and think that way, that maybe he could have, like, done something he shouldn't have done, then maybe, like, I would let him off the hook. But because he didn't, I'm like, why is that guy that way? There are certain things in my life where I walk through it and I'm always looking out going, why aren't people this way? Why don't they behave that way? And there's certain things that they do. Like, one of the things that annoys me to no end, is when I check out at the grocery store and they put the money with the receipt and the coins all in one hand. I mean, that drives me nuts. I literally want to just be like, will you just like put that in the bag? Like, I don't want to carry more stuff. But they're like, here's your change. And then they go, dollars, receipt, change. And I'm like, what am I supposed to do with this? Now I have to literally like take apart each section of this transaction. Like, I'm not interested. It's annoying. And then I have to push the cart out with the groceries, and I'm like, I'm going to put this in my pocket, but I don't want to put it in my pocket because I don't want the receipt wrapped up with the money, and then I hate receipts. Like, son, I hate pieces of paper. You'll find this out about me. Like, I hate pieces of paper. I hate them. I hate little trash things. So I'm just like, when they hand me that, the whole time I'm going, oh, you should do this differently. You should not do this way. There's just people that act a certain way, and I'm like, I could teach you, like, a totally different way to do this. Why don't you just go like this? Here's your money. Go ahead and put that in your pocket. I'll wait for you. Here's your receipt. Do whatever you like with that. Would you like it in the bag? Thank you. And then here's your change, that annoying stuff at the end that nobody wants. You can do whatever you want with that. Like, if they would do that, then I'd be like, this is way less annoying. Now they get me. And I'm always thinking, they should be like this. There's a person that I see, and I'm not kidding you. I see this person just in random places around Columbus. I see him once every 2 months. And honestly, this is a nice person, and I think they mean well, but they annoy me to no end. Because every single time I see them, they ask me the same question. You ever have met someone like this? And it's kind of one of these questions that's like, it's a little condescending. He goes like this. He goes, "Hey, man, hey, are you still doing that pastor church thing?" And the first time I was like, "Yep, I am." And then he comes at me again. "Hey, man, it's been like 4 weeks. Are you still doing that church thing?" I'm like, "Yeah, I am." Literally, every 2 months for 2 years, this person has asked me the same question. And I'm like, "Dude, like, come on. Like, how about we go to the next part of the conversation? How about, hey, how's that church thing going?" Because I'm like, maybe this is just me. I'm going like, "You should be a different way. The way you're being is annoying. Stop that." And to a degree, we all want people to be how we think they should be. And one of the most like liberating things in the world for me is I realized this. And I realized something a couple of years ago, and it was probably too late, but at least I realized it, and I want you to realize it too, is that as much as there are people that are acting a certain way and I don't want them to be that way, and as much as there are people that annoy me, I am also one of those annoying people. Truly. Some of you are going, "That's right." See, someone said amen. Thank you, Tom. He knows. But here's the deal. Like Carmen said, I'm one of those annoying people. So what I want you to do is I want you to turn and look to the person beside you and say, "I'm annoying." Do it. And now just look right back at that person and say, "I already knew that. I already knew that." Like, here's the thing. It's like, I know and have embraced the fact that I am annoying. And like, I know I'm annoying, and this has helped me work through how annoying I am and how I work with other people. In fact, I jumped out on such a limb that I went ahead and I asked my wife, "What are the 4 most annoying things about me?" And so I'm going to read them to you. Here they are. Because I am one of those annoying people. Everybody say, "I'm annoying." You really are, all right? So I texted her. I said, "Just tell me the top 4 things that annoy you about me." She said, "Phone usage, number 1. She said, "Your word of the moment." And what I do is I have this, like, I do this thing where, like, I put the same word in everything. And she gives examples, such as proclivity. One time I got all hung up on the word proclivity. Brilliant. Or it was a gas. Here's one. A messy closet. Like, most of my world is really clean, but it's true, I have a really messy closet. And then she said this. It was funny because I just got a pair of jeans, clothes, whatever. She's cutting tags off new clothes and leaving the scissors and the tag out, even when the trash can is right there, exclamation point. It's like, okay, all right, I can face that. I'm annoying. I'm one of those annoying people. And then I even went further, and I reached out to everyone on our staff, and I said, "Text one thing that's annoying about me." And here they are. These are from about 5 or 6 people from the church staff that said, "Here's what annoys me about Joel." So I'm putting myself out there. Like, you are all welcome. First one. The most annoying thing about Joel is that he liked Star Wars Attack of the Clones more than Phantom Menace. Daniel, you're annoying. Here's one. This is so true. And this is, it is annoying about me. It says his feet. Now, all of you want to see my feet. I have really ugly feet. And they annoy some people. Especially during, like, prayer time. It's like, "Dear Lord!" Someone said this, obsession with having no paper, gum wrappers, straw wrappers, anything near him, though his kids leave half-eaten suckers, banana peels, and wrappers in the backseat of his car. Annoying. Washing his hands after, not before, every meal, ... What the heck? I do. I have this thing where we all go out and we'll sit down and eat as a team. And then when everyone's done, they head to the car and I head to the bathroom. I have to wash my hands. I don't like that greasy feeling on my hands and it annoys everybody. I don't really care. I'm cleaning my hands. Now, this one, the only time I find Joel annoying is when he's talking. Dot, dot, dot. Or not talking. Last one, when he looks down at his phone when you're talking. Kevin, sorry, man, I've been working on it. He told me that a while ago. So here's the deal, like, I know I'm annoying. I know that I do things that annoy people. And what I have found is that people seem less annoying when you realize, and we realize that we're annoying. Like, once we get to this place where we all kind of understand that to a certain degree, we're annoying. To a certain degree, there's things about us that are broken down, that don't work the way they should have worked, and there's so many personalities out there in the world that things that we do naturally are going to naturally rub someone the wrong way. Now, if you're sitting in here, and I know there's some of you who are like, I am so excited about this series because I have got to figure out how to deal with that annoying person or those annoying people in my life. Today is about, I'm doing a little 180 on you. Today is about you are the most annoying person in your life. Because you have to get to this place, and we all have to get to this place where we recognize that we are rubbing someone the wrong way, that there are things about us that aren't quite right, and until we get to that moment, we're always going to be talking about the way people should be, the way they should act, the way they should think, the way they should behave. And I believe that God wants to kind of go, hey, 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 before you kind of look out there, why don't you look in here? And in the Old Testament, this principle was communicated through a prophet that God called to speak to his people. And this is one verse of obviously many, many verses that he communicated to his people. He said, we all, everybody say we all. We all. We all. Every one of us. So this is the thing, like you may be sitting in the room right now and going like, I am not annoying. I was getting ready for this series and there were some people on staff that were like, I'm not annoying. And I was like, that's annoying. Because the scriptures are about to talk to who? All of us. God is about to talk to every single one of us. And in this moment, what God is trying to say is like, there's something that applies to all of you, but your job is not to take it and apply it to someone next to you or someone around you. Your first job is to take and apply this principle to you. This is you because this is all. And Isaiah says, through God's word, we all like sheep. Everybody say, like sheep. Like sheep. We are all like sheep. Every one of us. And so here's the picture of this sheep thing. I remember one time years ago, I went and I met this shepherd. And this shepherd had a shepherd dog. And he talked about how much he trained this dog to run and chase the sheep that would run out of the flock. And he said that it took so much work to get this dog to keep every sheep in the fold. In fact, the dog would be running around all day, every day to the point of exhaustion because sheep naturally do what they're not supposed to do. And so the dog would just run and create a perimeter and he would blow whistles. And when one would go off, he would have it come back. And what the scriptures are saying is we all are like sheep. And when we are all like sheep, what it means is that we do things that we're not supposed to do and no one is excluded. If it's for all of us and we're all like sheep, then that means we all probably do sheep-like things. Here's some things that sheep do. They poop where they're not supposed to poop. It's annoying. The shepherd tries to take all the sheep over to one spot. And then one runs off and messes up the whole pattern of eating. Sheep will kind of move into territories they're not supposed to, and the shepherd is trying to take them all to get water. And in order for him to get all of them to get to water, he has to go over and above to move them all in this one direction. And so a shepherd and a shepherding dog have this overwhelming task of keeping all these sheep in the same spot. And the author of this text is saying, we are all like sheep. We all look like each other, and we all behave the same way. And he says this about the behavior. He says, we all like sheep have gone astray. Every one of us has gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. And what this means in a spiritual sense is that spiritually, we've kind of rejected God and done things our own way. But in a practical sense, how this plays out is that each one of us has a brokenness inside that takes us down pathways and through behaviors and things we say and think that ultimately are not by God's purpose and what he wants. And those things tend to annoy. Now, if you think that you're not annoying, then you are saying to this phrase right here, this isn't me. This isn't me. I'm not annoying. And the author says, all of you have gone astray. All of you are annoying. All of you are like sheep. All of you do things you're not supposed to do. And it affects all the rest of the people around you. He goes on, he said this, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of. So what he's saying here is that this is a passage that is broadcasting the picture of Jesus Christ dying on the cross. And he's saying, like, the Lord has laid on him, Jesus, this one person, the iniquity, the brokenness, all the annoying features, all the things that we do that are off the path, all the things that we do that aren't by God's design, all the things that cause interpersonal conflict, all of the iniquity, all the stuff that keeps us separated from God spiritually, that keeps us separated from people relationally, all the sin, all the brokenness, the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. All of us. And so what God says is that all of these annoying features, all of the things that separate you from God, all of your brokenness, all of that, Jesus paid for. And so if you have this mentality that you're not annoying, that you don't bring personal conflict, that you don't irritate somebody because you think you're perfect, then ultimately what you're saying is that Jesus died for all the annoying features of all these people around me, but he didn't have to for me. And what that means is that you have such a sense of pride that you have everything figured out. And if you live your life that way, then you are going to, according not to me, but according to the scriptures, you're going to stumble and fumble and bust your toe on every single table you walk by. Because the scriptures are so clear that if you don't embrace the fact that there's something about you that's probably broken, that annoys the people around you, then you are about to fall. It says it this way in the scriptures, pride comes before the fall. And so it's so empowering for us all to get to that place, right? I mean, you have to admit this annoying feature about yourself before you can kind of advance beyond it. I am one of those annoying people. Everybody say that. Say, I am one of those annoying people. I am one of those annoying people. Now, here's the deal. There are people in your lives that are so annoying you just can't even stand it. And then you move even closer to your family, and that's where it really gets tough. And I have a family member who, for years, we would only see this person every other year, or they lived out of state. And every time I would see this family member, he would come up to me and he would say, what's your wife's name? I was like, Katie. And then a year would go by and this person would come visit me. Who's your wife? And I was like, Katie. And then after that, there was a season where the same person moved in to town. And every time I would see him, and that was more regularly, once every couple months, every time I would see this family member, they would ask me while I was with them three times who my wife was. Like we would have like a family gathering, and it was like every time we would like go around the corner, then this person would be like, "Who's your wife again?" And I'm like, what? And it got to the point where like they were asking me so much and it felt so disrespectful that it was like annoying. And I was like, this person, like, I can't believe they're doing that to me. This is the most annoying thing in the world. And I would not want to go to the family gathering because I knew this person was going to ask me a question that I've answered 500 times and we're family. And it's like, come on, that's annoying. Well, it just so turned out that after 5 years of that, I learned that this person, who's my grandpa, has Alzheimer's. Oof. And I realized that he wasn't trying to be annoying. He was completely unaware, and his brain wasn't working. And I was the person that was sitting there going like, he needs to figure this out. And he had no ability to figure it out. Well, here's the thing about everyone in this room. You have to make a choice right now to go, am I going to like understand that I'm annoying? Because I can be aware. And for every one of us, we're all somewhat unaware. We live in this dream world where we're like, everything's fine. I'm fine. I'm okay. I don't do anything wrong. Everyone should love me. Now, I know that some of you are like on the opposite end of that spectrum and you're going, I'm worthless, I'm pointless, no one loves me, I'm completely annoying, I know that. And I believe that that kind of lives in this pocket over here of a kind of a self-deception or a lack of self-esteem or a lack of confidence. I'm talking about mainly this idea that we kind of think that we've got everything together. And we think, how could someone be annoying to me? Or even like if someone told us we were annoying, we would go, what? I am not. And so what I believe is that in order for us to like be an agent of love and truth and to like understand this whole annoying reality that we live in, we have to live this way. If I was unaware that I'm annoying, then that means most of the people around me are unaware that they're annoying. And so the first step to this whole kind of annoying and how to deal with those people is to say, I'm annoying. And then step two is to go, most people don't realize it because I didn't realize it. And so here's something that Paul says in Romans chapter 12 in terms of how we should kind of embrace the people around us who are annoying. And ultimately, we want to flip this and go, I was one of them. I am one of them. In Romans chapter 12, Paul has talked to the Romans. And the thing you need to know about the Romans is two things. The first one is they are egomaniacs. In fact, there's an author that calls the Romans egoholics. They believe that they are perfect. They believe that they are absolutely okay and there's nothing wrong with them. And Paul has taken 11 chapters to teach them that Jesus Christ died for them, and the reason he died for them is the same thing you just read in Isaiah, that they were all like sheep, gone astray, sinful, and broken. So the first thing you want to look at when you think of Romans chapter 12 is, man, we got a bunch of, who's this to? This is a bunch of egoholics who think they have it all together. And the next thing is that he starts off in Romans 12, 1 and 2, he talks about you need to have a new pattern. You need to have a new pattern. You're egoholics, and that means you don't think that anyone around you thinks there's anything wrong with you. And so you're completely consumed by yourself. And ultimately, for you to live out this Christian faith that I just took 11 chapters to describe, you have got to start a new pattern. And in this book, he gives some of the most concrete advice to the ego-minded people who are living wrong about how to engage with the people around them. And he says this, it's really, really, really interesting. He says, love must be sincere. Love must be sincere. Now, when he uses this word, the word here means without hypocrisy. It means that when you choose to love somebody, that you really love them, that you really care about them, that you don't have pretense, that you don't kind of act like you love them, but really in your heart, you don't love them. He's saying you have to have a sincere kind of love. You egomaniacs have learned how to kind of fit life together and pretend like people are valuable, but really at a heart level, your love, it's not sincere. You act one way in front of people, and then behind in your heart, it's broken. Another term for sincere is this kind of Greek and Latin idea, without wax. And what would happen is when they would make sculptures out of actual pieces of marble, when a sculptor would mess up, they would fill parts of the broken pieces with wax. And so people would look at that, and to the people that are looking at the sculpture, they can't see where it's been filled with wax. But to the people who know, to the sculptor, to the people who are investigating the sculpture, they're going, this is not sincere. This is not real. This is not projecting what it truly is. It's false. And so what Paul is saying in this text is he's going like, man, like, you have to understand that people are unaware of their brokenness, and so are you, and you have got to get to a place where you genuinely love people. You care about people. Some people believe that this part right here, love must be sincere, is kind of like, okay, love must be sincere. Let's have real love. Let's get genuine about our love for people, and then now let's unpack what that looks like. So if that was the case, the next thing that he says is this: love what is evil. Wait a minute. Love what is evil. No, actually what it says right here is it says hate what is evil. And the reason that I put love first is because here's the reality with a lot of us. We like to say that we love people. Oh, I just love people. I just care about people. People are important to me. Especially you grew up in the church. Oh, I just love people. I just care about people. I just love people. But really the reality is that when we find out something wrong with them or something annoying about them, we love it, don't we? I mean, come on. Am I the only one in here who's fallen into the trap of talking about something that's annoying about someone behind their back? Probably just me. I was at a wedding last night, and there were some guys that I love, and we started talking about something from the past and this one person that did this thing, and it was annoying what this person did. And you could just feel it. You ever feel the pot starting to stir, you know, when talking about what someone did? And it's like, ooh, they annoyed me. They said that thing. And then someone else chimes in. And it's like, ooh, a choir of talking about how bad this person is. Let's all join in together and talk about how bad this person is. Because honestly, here's the thing. We get annoyed by people. But if we're honest, we love sometimes that they're annoying because it gives us something to talk about. It gives us something to kind of throw at them. And what Paul says is like, you're supposed to look at something about someone that's broken and be like, oh man, I don't want anything to do with that. That's broken. Like, I'm gonna like genuinely live my life to hate the things that are broken about the world. And I'm gonna have genuine love for people, and I'm gonna hate the things that are broken. If you're gonna start to deal with those annoying people, then what has to happen is you have to start to hate the bad things in your life and in their life. And then he goes on to this last one. It's so cool. He says, cling to what is good. So he says, you need to have honest love, real, genuine concern, care for people without wax, without hypocrisy. That means that you genuinely love them at a heart level. And then that means that you hate what's evil in the world. You hate the brokenness. You hate the little things that people do that bug you. You just kind of hate that things aren't the way that they're supposed to be. And you make a choice to cling to what is good. Now, this word cling, what Paul uses, is the same word that he uses, and this is just true. This is the same word he uses when he talks about a man and a woman, a man leaving his wife and leaving his mother and father and cleaving to his wife. And the idea here is that you fall so deeply in love with what is lovable about people that you just see past all the brokenness. And the only way to do this is to recognize that that is exactly what God did for you. If you think for one second that God got rid of everything that's annoying about you, got rid of all your imperfections before he loved you, you don't get God. You see, what God did is he said, Joel's annoying. Joel's broken. I'm going to love him anyway. I am going to have a sincere love that gives all for Joel. And I'm going to hate what is evil about him. And I'm going to cling to what is good. And I'm going to give him everything he needs. And this is the model of how we should do relationship. You see, here's this is this phrase. I'm going to leave you guys right here with this. Until you realize someone looked past your imperfections to love you, you won't do the same for others. Until you realize that somebody looked past your imperfections to love you, you won't do the same for others. I mean, I just want you to imagine for a second, just think, just like, go there. Who loves you? Who loves you right now? Who would you say, like, they love me? What that person did is they figured out what was annoying about you. They figured out what was broken about you, and they just chose to push through it. And they just chose to say, I'm going to have a sincere love. I'm going to hate what's evil. Man, I'm going to cling to what is good. And in that person's mind, if they genuinely love you, when they make a list of all the things about you, the list of good is so much bigger than the list of bad. Just good. I love this. I love the way they talk. I love the way they this. And this is what Paul is saying. For every single one of us to get to this point where we recognize that we are one of those annoying people, we have to understand that in the midst of all of that, God chose to love us anyway. And then that is what turns into love for the people around us. Everybody say this. Say, I am one of those annoying people. We all are. And we have a God who looked right past it. And that's what we're supposed to do as well. I just want to give you three quick things. This is only going to take a minute. How do you end being annoying? This is kind of this whole thing, self-aware. You realize that you are. You realize that the people around you are unaware. You realize that God looked past your imperfection. And here's a process to go through. First one is just assume you're annoying. And this is like an attitude. Just like take a deep breath and just say it. I'm annoying. Put your hand. I'm annoying. Woo! Yes. Like one little child figured it out today. I think that says a lot about my communication. If she figured it out and you people don't, that's your problem. Assume you're annoying. This is humility. I'm annoying. I'm broken. I've gone astray. And then this is the next one. This is really, really hard. If you want to keep everything knit like perfect and act like nothing's wrong, don't do this. If you want to actually work and grow and work on what's annoying about you, then do this. Ask. Ooh, I cannot tell you how to do that. I just texted people and just held my breath. And it is scary. But here's one thing that scriptures say. There's two things scriptures say. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. So if you're going to ask somebody, I want you to go and ask somebody, okay, can you just start off with me? Just keep the list short. Can you just give me four things that I do that are annoying? Because I assume I am, and I'm going to hear it from you so that I can change. And then the third one is adjust. Just start to make that adjustment. Every single one of us has to go through this process of understanding we've gone like sheep astray, and that we need to know that, and we need to figure out what that looks like, and then we need to go on a process of adjusting that. How do you deal? How do you deal with those annoying people? You start with yourself. Let's take a minute. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for loving us, even though we have gone astray. We thank you for looking past our imperfections, for clinging to what is good. Help our mindset, our attitude, to be completely changed to a new pattern of seeing life and people the way that you do. We love you so much. In Jesus' name.